This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back here. Final hour, Sharp Money on a Monday. We want to thank Brooks Austin. Did such a good job breaking down college football the last two segments. Thank his wife, too, for staying with us a few extra minutes there. But we're going to transition from the South, college football hotbed, to the Midwest and the Windy City. So we welcome in Mark Carmen, NBC Sports Chicago host and WGN Radio personality. Follow him on social media at The Carm. Great to talk to you, Mark, because I think Chicago, you have a lot to talk about on the sports talk airways these days. It's been a rough year across the board, but lots of excitement now heading into the football season because the number one pick, Caleb Williams, you would think a better year than the Bears had last season. What are your expectations of the number one pick heading into training camp?
So, guys, thanks for having me. And look, as optimistic as Bears fans want to be, as much as I want to be, you know, doing a CHGO Bears podcast every single day, look, Bryce Young was the number one pick last year, and I'm not saying that Caleb's anywhere close to that, but it's possible, right? It's also possible that he's CJ Stroud, but if the Texans had the number one overall pick last year, most people think they would have taken Bryce Young. So there is the crapshoot that is NFL quarterbacks, and I think that's why you see such a wide range on – you know, how the Bears will do this year. But there is no doubt that the talent level is there with Caleb and the ability to get rid of the football quickly and the arm strength and the understanding of the game should all be there. So, look, there's a lot of optimism in Chicago right now, and rightfully so.
Oh, you guys have been through it, man. You've been through it. Rex Grossman, yeah. Kyle Orton, Jay Cutler, and now you've got Caleb Williams, which is a totally different
Justin Fields.
Type
throw that name out there.
I think they've moved on pretty quickly from that one. So when you look at those scenarios compared to this scenario and you see the talent that they've surrounded about the Bears, what is the mindset from everyone looking at this organization that everything they've given Williams to be successful because of how things have gone in the past? How much do you expect that to pay off right away his rookie season?
Well, it's not just the talent level, which obviously is way up too. But if we just, let's just go back to Trubisky. We'll take the last two. Mitch Trubisky wasn't supposed to start his rookie season. Mike Glennon was. He made it through four games on a $65 million contract with it, 18 of it was guaranteed. And they're like, oh, this guy stinks. Put Mitch in, which is not a great plan for a rookie quarterback. And then with Justin, they were going to start Andy Dalton. They did start Andy Dalton, and they had Nick Foles. They weren't planning on playing him that year. They were trying to squeeze out a playoff victory or a playoff appearance so Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace could keep their job. Well, Dalton gets hurt week two. Okay, let's throw Justin in there against the Browns. He threw Fournette 1 yard on an offense that wasn't designed for him. This offense is being designed for Caleb, along with the talent. So that part of it is, to me, the biggest difference. You're starting week one. There is no playing around here. Tyson Bagent's the backup. Let's go.
Tyson Bagent. I have not heard that name uttered until last year when he came off the bench. And I didn't have one really great game. Hopefully we don't hear that name again for the rest of the season. Right, Mark? Across the defensive side of the ball, I really think that's where this Bears team is going to eat. I'm not saying monsters of the midway. I'll let you say it, though. But I think this Bears defense, which was a top 10 unit last year, you made a couple of nice additions in the offseason. Byard's name right at the top there. The secondary should be better. And, of course, if your offense, like sometimes the best defense is a good offense, right? Because the defense then gets a chance to stay rested and recharge for the entire game. Whereas with Justin Fields last year, it felt like they kept looking over their shoulder because they knew at any moment they're going to be asked to go right back onto the field. But the defense was very impressive last year. Will it be better this season, or is the same just good enough?
Well, if it is the same in the second half of the year, I guess it would be good enough, but I do think it'll be better because, you know, Montez Sweat came midseason and now he's here for the full year, going through training camp, all that, you know, number 82 on your NFL top 100 list. That's, you know, an impact guy that they didn't have to start the season last year. Throw in the fact that Tyreek Stevenson, who had a great rookie year as a corner, should be that much better. Jaquan Brisker going into his third year. Same thing with Kyler Gordon. Those guys in the secondary, super solid. They paid Jalen Johnson, rightfully so. Tremaine Edmonds, who got big money coming over from Buffalo last year, wasn't great, you know, really. He was middle of the road. So I would think there's room for him to be better. TJ Edwards had a great year last year, so hopefully that continues again. But their defense is still missing one guy who can get to the quarterback and kind of that three tech in the middle who can annihilate you. Jervon Dexter Sr. is the name that Bears fans are pointing to. Can he do it in year two? He started to come along in the second half of last year. But so there's still questions on the defensive line. On the outside, who's rushing the quarterback with Montez? And then on the inside, can they really get that push, collapse the pocket?
Now, Mark, a year ago at this time, most of America didn't really have an opinion on the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus. Most people didn't really have a vibe, what he is, what he wasn't. They knew he was a coordinator. They knew he had success there. And now America's going to learn more about him because the Bears are going to be on Hard Knocks. And it does feel like this is a guy who evolved and got more comfortable in his own skin as the year went on a year ago. What has the Chicago media thought of Matt Eberflus, and is he on any type of a hot seat with a new quarterback coming in?
So I'll take the hot seat part first. I don't think he's on a hot seat. Like, if they win 7, 8, 9 games and Caleb has an up-and-down year, but his flashes are real and they look solid, I think Matt Eberflus will – then you could talk about a hot seat in year 4. Now, if they completely collapse, then that's a major problem for Matt Eberflus. And not the GM, because they would point at the coach for not, you know, living up to the talent that's in the room. But this is a guy who, you know, lifer coach, but, you know, linebacker coach, Dallas, defensive coordinator, Indianapolis. He was never front of the room as far as dealing with the media. And there were some really awkward moments with Matt Eberflus in the media where he was confused and stumbly and just, it wasn't great. The word on the street is that the Flus has, you know, got some coaching around this, and he's just become way more comfortable and way more used to it. He was asked about it today at his press conference. And he's like, well, time on task. Like, look, I do this 4 days a week with you guys. So he's just become a better front-facing guy for the franchise, a little more easygoing. It's noticeable. He's changed his look. The dude looks like Brad Pitt in his late prime. I'm going to give him. So, you know, the Flus has done kind of it's been a makeover. Let's put it like that.
The Flus. I've never heard anyone refer to him as that, and now I cannot get it out of my head. So is he just looking more tan and slim these days, or did he change his look?
He's got – his hair is more poofy. He's got a – this is a thing. Like, he,
all right.
His beard is just very well taken care of.
Wow.
This guy's a married man, but if – we'll stick with the Flus theme. If the Flus was on the loose, I mean, it, you know, for to be 50-year-old women, maybe even younger, you know, very interested in this new Flus.
Maybe one day I'll graduate to that point with my vibe. I don't think I'm there yet. Mark Carman, CHGO Sports host, NBC Sports Chicago, WGN Radio, joining us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on social media at the Carm. All right, let's switch gears for a minute. I know football is top of mind, Mark, but I think the Cubs had a nice little push right before the break, right? And then now we're seeing a nice walk-off win for them yesterday on the other side of town, the White Sox. It's almost a matter of when they're going to sell. Let's start with Chicago on the White Sox side. Are we going to see Garrett Crochet dealt before the deadline? And if so, any idea of where he might land?
So it sounds like that is going to be the case. And the usual suspects are in there, the Yankees and the Dodgers. Bob Nightingale had a report out, and Bob is – very close with Jerry Reinsdorf, so he has very good White Sox information. And the Yankees were there with their top prospects, who they're now willing to include. The White Sox apparently want more than that because, you know, why not get greedy on July 22nd? You got a little bit of time, but apparently there's a bunch of interest in Garrett Crochet. So I do expect him to be dealt, and maybe with Luis Robert. The Dodgers were rumored in a monster package for both Crochet and Robert, which, you know, they're both – I mean, Robert's been signed, and he's under contract, so he is of enormous value to have an impact guy like that in his prime who's getting paid, you know, relative to what he should be getting paid, peanuts. So, you know, look, the White Sox are – you know, full in on another rebuild and coming out of this at some point. It's an awful time to be a White Sox fan in Chicago, that's for sure.
Mark, not a bad time to be you, my friend. CHGO Sports host, NBC Sports Chicago, WGN Radio. Of course, follow him on all things social media in the Windy City at the Carm. We appreciate the time. Good luck with the Bears season. I'm excited to keep a close eye on Chicago this year.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Great stuff. Mark Carmen, there he goes. Yeah, I think selling the Cubs, I think the Cubs should sell. They're not going to, but they should. The White Sox absolutely are selling.
The Cubs are a team. You know what was interesting is I was very low on them coming into the year.
That sweep over the Orioles didn't help my cause.
No, look, I was low on them coming into the year, but then, like, they got off to an okay start, and then things unraveled very quickly and got away from them. And it just never felt like there was a complete cohesive plan with what they wanted to do. They kind of were patching pieces together, and I just didn't think they had the upside. But there was a point where I went, you know what? Is there a buy-low opportunity on the Cubs? You can't touch that team. It is grossest. It's disgusting, and I don't know what they're going to do to fix it next season.
But here's the thing. I think we were hot and heavy on some of these Japanese pitchers, either pro or con in the futures market. The one thing I'm noticing, and this week is in particular, and we will talk a little bit of baseball before the end of the show. I'll give you a few nerfy picks. We'll dive into the futures market as well, and we've got a really good segment coming up in about 15 minutes with John Bowman, former baseball scout. He'll give us his picks tonight. But I'm noticing these pitchers getting extra rest. You see them come back from the break. They look great. Imanaga looks fantastic. Yep. But then you get him back on that normal routine where he's starting every sixth day, and then all of a sudden it's 2-3 months of that, the wear and tear. But then you give these guys 10 days off. That's why I think someone like Hunter Green tonight, wink, wink, on the nerfy. Like, just it. You give these guys 10 days. Imanaga looked like a rock star yesterday. What do you go, an 8 scoreless or something? But you go another month or two down the road, back on the normal routine, he'll go right back to hitter city on the other side. All right, we will get into a little baseball. I promised it. I teased it. I'll give you nerfies on the other side. Sharp money here on a Monday.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back on Sharp Money, and hey, check it out. VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now. Our new college football guide drops August 1st. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and NFL. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up for the end of July. Receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our splits. Love the splits. Football special discount expires July 31st. Don't wait. VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We want to appreciate all of our guests today, which we'll give credit to at the end of the show. But Mark Carmen especially just hopped on in our last segment talking all things Chicago. We're going to keep the baseball theme going for just a minute here. I'll give you my nerfies for tonight. I'll keep it very quickly because there's really not a whole lot of analysis in this market. It's really just the pitchers that I love tonight, and that's why I'm betting these games. I bet the Pirates-Cardinals nerfy tonight. Palante Keller. I love Mitch Keller in this market. 15-4 to the nerfy this year. Palante's been pretty good. You know, one of the more unsung heroes of this Cardinals rotation is filled in very nicely for St. Louis, who has not had a really good run of it in their rotation this year with some very average starters. But Palante's been pretty solid, at least in the first inning, 7-1 to the nerfy with a whip right at around 1. So I'll go Cardinals Pirates, one of the bigger movers overnight that I saw in this market. Reds Braves, we mentioned Hunter Green's name. He is just a rock star. 16-3 nerfy record this year, 8-0 on the road, whip right around 1, 32.5% K rate. In the first inning, Reynaldo Lopez, I don't know what's gotten into this dude. So there's two pitchers in baseball this year that are candidates for Nerfy of the Year, and it's basically a new award that I just created that I'm going to give to my favorite pitcher in this market. Reese Olson's one. He's 18-0 to the Nerfy. Reynaldo Lopez right behind him. 17 starts this year, 17 Nerfies. Has not allowed a run in the first inning all season. Impressive stuff. Whip below 1. K rate almost 40% in the opening frame this year. Reds, Braves, Nerfy in Atlanta. Finally, late night, I'll go Angels, Mariners, Nerfy. Tyler Anderson's my concern here, but Julio Rodriguez likely not playing tonight. And that is a good thing for the top, a bad thing for the top of the Seattle lineup. Good thing for the Nerfy. And then Bryce Miller on the other side, 10-0 at home this year. How about this? 24 starts in Seattle for Bryce Miller in his career has not yet allowed a run in the first inning in any of them. 24-0 to the Nerfy at home for Bryce Miller overall this season, home and away, 16-3 on the campaign. So Angels, Mariners, Pirates, Reds. No, Pirates, Cardinals. Excuse me. I'm getting my NL Central teams mixed up. Pirates, Cardinals, Reds, Braves. We got the Reds in there for you. Three Nerfies tonight. And how about this? After today's game between Tampa and the Yanks, the Nerfy is 33-12 out of the break. Two reasons why. Obviously, the bats are sluggish, but the other reason, I think the bigger reason, is what I just talked about before this break was you give these pitchers that have been going every fifth day, every fifth day, every fifth day for 3 months, then you give them 10 days off. That first inning after 10 days off, they're fresh. So I'm not surprised the Nerfy vibe, the whole rotation, the first time through this rotation right out of the break, I think we're going to see a lot of Nerfies.
And curious how the trade deadline, which is coming up here, you know, the end of the month, how that impacts Nerfy-Yerfy betting, because my thought would be there will be a greater gap usually because all the teams will have sold their best parts, where maybe there are more Yerfy opportunities post that. You are the father of the first inning. I'm just speculating
here. Here's what I think will happen. I think eventually, and I keep saying this, I feel like I've said this for months, eventually we'll see the offenses pick up. But it hasn't happened yet. We are in the midst of a historic Nerfy season. This is, now granted, I've only been doing this for 3 years, so I don't really know this, but based off of the historical trends, which say the Yerfy's actually the sharper side and hits more often than not, that's not what we're seeing this year.
Well, guys are throwing harder than ever.
Yes,
they're letting it fly early in the game. They're not pacing themselves to go 5, 6, 7 innings. If they go 5 on the dot, they feel like they did their job if it was a dominant 5 innings. And I think that's playing a role and reflecting in the number there. But I do think post-trade deadline, when some of these teams have to throw out worse 4th and 5th pitchers in their rotation,
you'll see it spike.
I think you'll see it spike.
So
and young guys get called up from the minors and teams out of contention.
Last year, my hypothesis was the postseason Yerfies will be profitable because the Nerfy in the postseason gets juiced so much that it's a lower bar to profitability.
Okay.
I was right. Go back and look at my Twitter. I tracked every single Yerfy in the postseason. I don't tweet out every single bet, obviously, in the regular season, although recently I have, and it's been very successful. But in the postseason, I literally went through every game, and that's what I meant. I don't tweet out every single number. I tweet out my bets, but I don't tweet out every single number. In the postseason, I tweeted out every game to the Yerfy, and it was profitable. It was profitable. I think the same thing will happen this postseason, but we're not there yet. We're still in the regular season, and we're still in that mode where teams take days off. There are situations, day game after night game, and for some reason, out of the break, I think I just gave you the reasons. It's really the extended rest for the pitchers and maybe a little sluggishness. I would, if I had allocated, I'd say it's like 60, 65% pitchers being rested out of the break, maybe 30, 35%, 40% batters being a little bit sluggish. Because let's be honest, we've now up to the fourth day. It's Monday. The break's ended on Friday. This is the fourth day out of the All-Star break. By Sunday, if the bats aren't back up to normal, well, then it's maybe not as much bats as it is pitching. So those are my three Nerfies today. I'll give them to you one more time. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Atlanta, LAA, Seattle. That's the late one. The other two start in about an hour. My Nerfies of the day. All right, let's get to our three up, two down segment because one of the guys in their segment already pitched today. Three up, two down today. Let's start with the three up. Tarik Skubal, last four starts, three up here at leading off. He's been unbelievable. I think he's the Cy Young winner right now in the American League. 26 innings, ERA right around 2. He pitches against the Guardians tonight. I think Tigers' first 5 makes sense. What says you?
All right, he's a minus $1.30 over at DraftKings to be the Cy Young Award winner in the American League. Minus $1.35, total 7 at Cleveland here. The guy's been so dominant. I'm going to be wrong on this hill. I'll continue with it. After today's start, Tarik Skubal will eclipse 117 and two-thirds innings. Why is that relevant to a conversation? Because that's the second most he's ever thrown in a season, 117 and two-thirds. That was in 2022. In 2021, he threw 149 and a third. This is a guy whose arm is coming off multiple injuries in years, and I don't know how he's going to be post-150-inning mark.
Good call.
Yes, he has been dominant. Yes, he should be the leader in the pack for AL Cy Young, but I have a lot of questions on a team that's not contending, and I get they want to win him the award, but I have questions about how he's going to finish down the stretch because he's never thrown that many meaningful innings before.
Makes sense to me. I still like Burns a little bit in this market.
I have Burns at plus 440.
I still like Logan Gilbert. I still think if Seattle wins this division and they come down hot down the stretch, I think there's – let's leave it at this. Unlike a lot of the other awards markets in baseball, I think this one is still up for grabs. The Twins against lefties, three up here for Minnesota, they've been unbelievable against lefties. A 278 this year, 31 homers, 113 RBIs. What's their matchup tonight? They get Ranger Suarez, yeah, right? He's been up and down since the break, but again, I think the – or before the break, he was up and down. I think the extended rest might help him. He's a guy that I feel like needed a little bit of a blow. His best stuff was the first month, 2 months of the year, and he's tailed off a little bit lately.
Yeah, so I'm going to back the Twins tonight.
Okay.
It was a plus price last night when I went to sleep, like plus 115. It's now minus 105. I'll lay $1.05 with Minnesota. I'm going to back their bats in this matchup where Ranger Suarez has to keep coming down to earth. I don't know what he is. He's definitely not who he was in the first half,
no,
but he's also not as bad as maybe he
also
was a
agreed
few years ago. There's somewhere in the middle that's where Ranger Suarez really is. So because Minnesota has the second best batting average, second best OPS against southpaws, I'll take a shot here. Also, Bailey Ober on the bump. He's been really good of late. He's a really solid pitcher. He's not special. He's not sexy. I hate the Twins. I hate everything about their roster, but in this one moment, I will back them against the Phillies because Ranger Suarez last four starts. Let's go over this here as part of three down, and we'll bounce back to three up. Last four starts, he's got a 7.06 ERA. He's thrown 22 and two-thirds innings, 17 strikeouts, a 1.71 whip, and just one quality start. Ranger Suarez was on a ridiculous pace to start the year, but as we just mentioned, that is not who he is, and that's why I'm going to back Minnesota tonight.
I like it. All right, finally in the three-up segment, Bobby Witt Jr. gets the D-backs tonight. Good matchup against some Diaz pitcher that has not pitched very well this year, doesn't have a ton of experience, but the last 30 days for Witt, he's kind of playing like an MVP candidate, and the Royals need him to because they haven't won a ton of games lately. 4.02 average, 5 homers, a stolen base, 13 ribbies. Look at that OPS.
He's 12-1 over at DraftKings, and Aaron Judge, there's a lot of truth in what Luis Severino said over the weekend. The Yankees really have two hitters in that lineup you're really scared of, Judge and Soto. If teams start throwing around Aaron Judge and he doesn't have as many opportunities, and we want to talk about value with what the lineup is, 12-1 Bobby Witt, I do think there is a scenario where he is in play.
I don't think so. I don't think any – unless Judge gets hurt.
He's going to go 40-40.
But here's the thing about Judge, and we'll get to the final three down segment in our last spot before we close up shop. If they're pitching around Judge, it kind of strengthens his case for MVP.
But the home run numbers won't be there.
Unless he just completely falls off a cliff. I don't know. I don't see it. We'll ask our next guest, John Bowman, if he thinks Aaron Judge is going to fall off a cliff. More baseball talk on the other side. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're back. Check out our website, VSiN.com. It's got best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, the betting tools, the guide. The NFL guide's out already. College football guide drops in about 10 days. Tons of baseball best bets also on the site tonight from Adam Burke and Steve Mackinnon, among others. All of it available at your fingertips. Just go to VSiN.com. Sharp Money on a Monday. Jared Smith, Dustin Sweetelson, and our next guest. Very excited to be joined by John Bowman, former Major League Baseball scout. Baseball with Bowman's where you can catch him. Follow him on social media at JohnBowman11. All right, John, let's not waste any time because you've got picks on your card today. And I love when there's friction on the show. We just talked about the Minnesota Twins against lefties. My partner here, Dustin Sweetelson's on the Twins. I look at your card right out of the gate. Phillies over Twins. So tell me why Dustin's wrong.
Well, gambling's hard. I don't necessarily know if he's wrong, but I will say the main thing, and I know the Twins have been dominating lefties recently, especially over the past month or so, but the main thing for me here, Royce Lewis, Carlos Correa, Jose Miranda are all still on the IL. Those are three massive right-handed bats for the Twins, and have been having a lot of the production for them recently. Bailey Ober has been pitching well for them, but they go up against Ranger Suarez. I don't think the break could have come at a better time for Ranger Suarez. He was absolutely dominating out of the gate and then kind of lost some steam. But I think this will help him, the rest. And then both bullpens have been pretty iffy lately, to be honest. But the Twins have two relievers, Jorge Alcala, and one of their others has pitched 2 days in a row and could be unavailable, while the Phillies should have everyone available.
Yeah. Do you want to repute there? But I'll give you the floor first.
No, I think you made a strong case. I just think when it comes to the pitching matchup in this one, I don't like before the break the way Suarez was trending. And I think Ober is not sexy, but he is solid. And I've been waiting for this Suarez magic to kind of end here. So as long as the Suarez magic continues to end, I feel good about my side. But he made a strong case.
All right, John, let's move on. The Brewers, I call them, I don't know if you're a fan of the movie Rounders. You're a gambler. You've probably heard of it. Alligator blood. The Brewers have alligator blood. They're down early. Doesn't matter. Grand slams, they've got them. It just seems like anything that is required for them to win, they find a way to do on a daily basis. They don't have the sexiest lineup. They certainly don't have a very good rotation, but they figure out a way to win games. Their bullpen's getting stronger. Devin Williams should be back soon. The rest of the bullpen's been pretty solid, and you think they're a good bet tonight over the Cubs?
Yeah, definitely. That's my favorite play of the night. And then you could go the other way, too. The Cubs are the exact opposite of the Brewers right now. They're just finding ways to lose. They're not playing well. I know they got the win yesterday, but they had one hit through eight innings, and the Diamondbacks were without their top four relievers who had all pitched 2 days in a row. Shouldn't say without them. One of their pitchers pitched 3 days in a row, and he was the one that blew the save. So it's pretty obvious to see, you know, how rest can affect these relievers. But I like the Brewers here. The Cubs bullpen is still ridiculously injured. They're missing a lot of guys, Little, Wesneski. And then the Brewers on the other side, they should have everyone available. They just got Jared Koenig off the IL. And like you said, the Brewers are just finding ways to win while the Cubs aren't right now. I like the Brewers there.
Tobias Myers, a guy who doesn't have like overpowering stuff, but he gets the job done.
That's what I'm saying. He's alligator blood.
He's just a good pitcher because that's what they do. They find diamonds in the rough. They create these stars, right? They're not always able to pay them, but they do. Let's stay in this division for a moment here. Though, John, also Baseball with Bowman, all of his information on his Twitter at JohnBowman11. This division was there for the taking for Chicago. They were very aggressive in the offseason. You worked in the Blue Jays front office as a scout. What went wrong with Chicago and their game plan for putting this team together? Because of the teams in this division, it felt like they were making the biggest splashes and it is not working.
Yeah, and adding Craig Counsell, too, should have, you know, enhanced all of their qualities and their abilities. But it's kind of just been a perfect storm for them, to be honest. They really don't have many guys hitting. You knew Cody Bellinger wasn't going to have a career year like he did last year. Then you've got guys like Ian Happ, who hasn't been producing much. You've got some guys in their lineup like a Pete Crow Armstrong, Nico Horner, who they don't have much power. So they do get on base, but they're not going to get that big hit, that two, three, you know, even grand slam that's going to, you know, separate them from other teams. And when they're struggling to bat and hit overall, that's what you kind of need in the middle of the lineup is someone's just going to slug. Like I say, Suzuki has been underperforming as well. Their bullpen, like I mentioned, they have tons of injuries. I mean, they've got like eight guys on the IL right now, a lot of guys that could really help them. And that's been hurting them as well, especially because their starting pitching doesn't get too deep into games. So they use a lot of their relief pitchers, a lot of innings for them. And that kind of, like I said, just makes a perfect storm for them. But that being said, they're also only like six games under 500 still. So it's not like they're totally out of it. They can still turn this thing around, but they've got to start playing a little bit better.
Let's talk about some teams that already have things turned around and you expect them to be adding at the deadline. And I think the most intriguing handicap with these teams, Dodgers, Braves, Orioles, among others, I think you throw the Cardinals in that mix as well, all probably looking to add at least one, two arms at the deadline. How does that impact the starting pitchers they're throwing out there now? I think it's always hard when you're looking over your shoulder. You're waiting for that next guy to come and take your job. Does that make handicapping these top teams over the next 2 weeks just a little trickier?
I don't think so. I think it does make it a little bit trickier because a lot of these players just in general are kind of waiting for reinforcements, right? Like they know if they've got a weak part of their team, you know, if their bullpen's been injured or not pitching well, they know they're going to add some pitchers by the deadline. So I don't want to like use the word cruising into the deadline, but a lot of these teams, they know that help is on the way. So there's not necessarily as much urgency. That being said, also, a lot of these pitchers who are at the bottom part of the staff, like a guy, say, like Dean Kremer, who will likely be knocked out of the rotation. The Orioles are probably going to get a starting pitcher. He'll probably just move to the bullpen, kind of like they did with Cole Irvin and Albert Suarez. So it's kind of just getting those guys in a different role and being comfortable.
Can I spin zone this for you a little bit? Because I think we're all anticipating a lot of aggressive moves at the trade deadline, because it makes sense. There's a lot of teams in the mix, especially with the National League wildcard, John. However, with that said, because there's a lot of teams in the mix, there aren't that many sellers. There aren't only so many guys to go around to all of these teams. Do you expect us to get the blockbusters everyone's talking about? A Crochet, a Skubal, Luis Robert, Eric Fetty. I mean, I'm talking Eric Fetty like he's going to matter, but he's having a great season on a bad Chicago team. Are we going to get the splashes we're expecting?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, especially when Major League Baseball went to having the, you know, the bigger wild card on both sides, is you're going to see a lot more teams competing and not necessarily as many sellers. So I don't know. Last year, we didn't really see that many blockbusters, right? It seems like teams are also trending towards valuing prospects and control more than necessarily having that top guy for, you know, a couple months or one and a half years, you could say. But even last year, we saw kind of the decline of the rental player, you know, or even just the value of the rental player. Teams aren't willing to give up that top prospect to get a guy for 2 months. So we see them kind of focusing in more on these guys with more control, which obviously brings in a higher return. So it'll be interesting to see some of these teams if they're going to move their top prospects or not.
Yeah, I always feel like it's a where there's smoke, there's fire situation. I've heard a lot of buzz on Skubal to the Dodgers. I've heard a lot of buzz on Skubal just period getting traded. I don't know if he's going to get moved. Is a guy at that level, it's harder to move a guy like that, even though the contract situation is relatively favorable. Whereas a guy like Max Scherzer, maybe a little bit easier to move him because he's, you know, the expiring deals and, of course, everything that goes on with younger players compared to older ones in the free agent market. If those two names are the first two to come to mind, am I missing anyone who might get moved at the deadline?
Skubal, Scherzer could be a good look. Crochet.
Yep.
I think Mason Miller.
Oh.
And then even staying on the A's, maybe like a Brent Rooker would be an amazing get for a lot of teams. You know, kind of Luis Robert's a good option. Maybe we'll see somebody on the White Sox, somebody else in the White Sox being moved, like a Tommy Pham could be an option.
Yep.
Maybe even like a Michael Kopech as a good value option. I know he hasn't had the best year, but he's obviously got the stuff, and maybe he'll succeed in more of a sixth or seventh inning role instead of as a closer. So I think we'll see a lot of more marginal moves this
sure.
year. Not necessarily that those big blockbusters, but I definitely think some teams will find some value in those lower guys.
What about your Blue Jays that you worked for, which they developed this core, and I don't understand how it hasn't worked. I love Bo Bichette.
Love
Vlad Guerrero Jr. No, I know, but he's had a horrible year before
even
he got
besides
hurt.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And you like a play on their win total in season, right?
Yeah, I like their under. I believe it's at 77.5 wins. It might have gone down a win or two since the break restarted after, you know, losing 2 of 3 in that series at home. But they're going to sell. They're going to be sellers. I don't think that they're going to go all in. I don't think they're going to move Vladdy. I don't think they're planning on moving Bo. Bo's, like you guys said, he's been injured. He's been having the worst year of his career. They're not going to move him when his value's at his least, you know, because no team's going to pay over the top for him there. That being said, you're going to see guys like a Danny Jansen being moved. He hasn't had the best year, but he's a good option at catcher. Maybe a George Springer, even though he's on a pretty bad contract, but he's kind of starting to have a resurgence a bit. He had 2 home runs. That was yesterday, I believe. And then they're going to sell their only pieces in their bullpen, too. You've got like a Yimi Garcia who could be moved, Chad Green. So I think they're not necessarily going to go full on rebuild, but they're definitely going to be retooling at this deadline.
Yeah, George Springer killed. The only loss I had yesterday was George Springer crushing a nerfy for me in the first inning. Cater Montero hung one. What was it? Well, the hung one. He just threw a groove to fastball right down the middle. Great stuff, John Bowling. We appreciate the time, pal. Go follow him on social media at John Bowman 11. Baseball with Bowman is the story. Appreciate the time, bud.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
All right, we'll close up. Sharp Money on the other side.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Well, July's ending with a bang. UFC 304 is not just one, but 2 titles on the line. Get your own crown. Jump in on all the action. It's all at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of USC. Download the app now. Use code VSIN. That's code VSIN. New customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Great show today. I want to thank our guests, Landry Locker, Brooks Austin, Mark Carmen, and John Bowman, who just came on to talk a little baseball. Let's switch back to football here for this final segment. We want to get to this sound from John Harbaugh, who responded today to a lot of people talking smack on his guy, Lamar Jackson. So let's listen to Coach Harbaugh and then react.
So there's a lot of great things said about Lamar, but there's a lot of stuff that said to you got to just scratch your head about and kind of wonder what's that person even thinking, you know? So, but we take it personally. You know, Lamar's a guy all his life. Lamar Jackson has been a guy who's been answering those same questions. I'm talking about since he was a kid, junior high, high school, college, the draft, the success he's had in the National Football League, and it still comes up, okay? He's still growing. He's got a growth mindset. He's going to get better and better, no doubt. But what does he have to do to prove himself to some people, right?
Two things here.
Okay.
I have not watched this clip until that took place. I like getting fresh reactions from things, and I'm glad that I didn't watch this clip because if it stewed a little bit more, I probably would have felt differently. The first thing that he said that stood out to me with growth was growth mindset. If you have a growth mindset, and I think you have one too, even though you don't give yourself credit. You do.
Yeah, I grow. Why?
If you have a growth mindset, nothing is unattainable. If Lamar Jackson feels that he has more meat on the bone for him to grow as a quarterback in the NFL, I'm sure he will. The next part of that clip that stood out to me was the last part when he said, who does he have anything to prove it? Nobody. And that's the whole point of these clips. The media is doing their job by criticizing a quarterback. And listen, Lamar's great. I love Lamar. He won me a bunch of money in the MVP last year. I'm not critical of his game. I'm real about his game. If you ask most analysts, they would tell you what Lamar's problems are as a quarterback are pretty, you know, obvious. He's not as good of a passer as Patrick Mahomes. He's not as good staying upright in the pocket with his strength, with his mobility like a Josh Allen. He's not a good QB sneak guy like Josh Allen is or like other quarterbacks are. His strengths are his strengths. His weaknesses are his weaknesses. He's the two-time MVP. This feels like John Harbaugh trying to pump his own team up.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that clip that's out of the ordinary. It's just John Harbaugh figuring out a way to make Lamar Jackson better. And that's what that soundbite was to me.
And also feel better, right?
Sure.
Part of it is like they are married. They're in this union. He signed you a long-term deal. John Harbaugh's success goes with Lamar Jackson. And he admitted before that clip, there was a lot more in it where he was saying, I see the clips that are out there. I don't want to, but they pop up in my feed. And the criticism is kind of unwarranted. And I think he's right. This is a two-time MVP at 27 years old. And he hasn't won that Super Bowl. Well, Patrick Mahomes has won three of those Super Bowls in that window. Tom Brady's won a couple in that window. There's only so many Super Bowls to go around. And I am a big Lamar Jackson supporter because I think if you put Lamar Jackson on any team that didn't make the playoffs in the NFL last year, just add him, nothing else, that team makes the playoffs this year. That's how special I think he is.
Yeah, he has nothing to prove to anyone but his teammates and himself. Like, we have jobs in this industry because we're good at breaking down games, talking about teams, etc., making people laugh, all of those things. That's our job. So we're going to keep doing that. It's Lamar's job to keep playing football. Just because Lamar's friends and teammates feel like he's getting a bad rap does not mean the rap is going to stop. We need stuff to talk about.
Or that it's true.
Or either of those things. Either of those things could be true.
So let's hear from John Harbaugh because this is the big clip that was making the rounds today. These are his expectations for his quarterback.
The vision for Lamar Jackson, and it's a vision. It's something you see it like it's already happened. You can see it like it's already been done. The victory has already been won when you pour into a vision. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League. That's the vision, all right? It's going to happen by Lamar, his work ethic, and his brilliant talent, by all of us pouring into that effort together as a team, teamwork, and by the grace of God and God's goodwill. That's how it's going to happen. And I believe it like we've already seen.
I don't have a problem with that.
That's what you're supposed to say. Why would you do anything if you didn't believe that your goal at the end is to be the best?
Totally
you may not
agree.
Be the best today. You may not be the best tomorrow. But the whole point is to be the best. And I love that that's what he's saying out loud. If we do everything right, Lamar Jackson goes down as the best quarterback of all time. And people don't like to hear this, the ones that like to criticize him. At 27 years old, go find me another quarterback outside of Tom Brady as accomplished as Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
I guess Mahomes.
Yeah, I think that would be the answer. But anyone who has a problem with what he said doesn't have a growth mindset. That's the thought process of every person with a growth mindset. They might not be the best, but they strive to be the best. They strive to be better. I think we just need to all take a deep breath and just realize what that is. And now, I haven't seen any fervor on social media about that clip. Again, to me, there's nothing wrong with that at all. No. I don't know why people are up in arms about it if they are.
No one's up in arms. It's just there's nothing happening. Yes. And a head coach came out and said, hey, haters, these are my thoughts on things.
So we're in that time now when nothing happens and something happens. It becomes the biggest thing happening because nothing else is happening. And we have this way, this twisted, toxic societal way of magnifying things that don't need to be magnified. There is nothing wrong with saying the reigning MVP of the league has the aspirations to be the best quarterback that's ever walked the earth. I mean, I think that is a very reasonable expectation for someone coming off of an MVP season. If you want to debate, the reason why he was the MVP was maybe a little bit more of the team success and maybe not as much Lamar throwing it all over the field. That's fine, but go watch that game against the Niners and tell me he's not the MVP of the league last year. I think he was. And I think that award was deserving. And I think there's a chance, if the right pieces are around him, then he could play better this year. John Harbaugh is not going to be anything but ringing the bell for his guy all season long, even if things are going poorly. What do you expect him to say?
No.
I think Lamar's going to suck this year? Like, there's really only one way you can spin it, and that's positively.
No, but I do think that this feeds into the locker room, into the chemistry of the team. Our head coach out of the gates is saying the criticism our quarterback has taken from coming short in the postseason once again isn't fair, and he has his back. Everyone is now aligned in the organization.
I love the Ravens this year. I just don't think – I think the AFC is really tough, and I think running the gauntlet in the AFC for a second straight year – it's really hard to do, and he's going to get a lot more competition in his division this year.
Yep.
You didn't give out your baseball bets on the day, sir. We got a couple minutes left. You want to dabble here?
So we'll do the Twins bet I mentioned earlier. I just think the real Suarez is showing up here, and Minnesota hitting lefties, they do it pretty well. The other bet is we're going to take a flyer. You talked about Bryce Miller, and he's an awesome pitcher. Seattle Mariners offense stinks, though.
Stinks.
And they especially stink against lefties. That was our part of our three down segment. They have not hit lefties well this season. One of the worst in baseball when it comes to facing southpaws. And Tyler Anderson's on the bump for the Angels. I'm going to bet on a bad baseball team. The Mariners, 216 against lefties this year. I'm going to take the Angels here at plus 136. Also, Tyler Anderson, shockingly better on the road than at home. 1.87 ERA on the road, 3.88 at home. I think this is just a spot where I want that plus money price, and we could win this game.
I like it. Tyler Anderson over outs was something I saw very popular on the social media verse today. Over 17.5 outs makes a ton of sense. I like the Nerfy in this game. I saw someone on Twitter ask me to give out my Nerfy picks again. I'll give them to you one more time here. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Nerfy. Cincinnati, Atlanta, Nerfy, and then that late game, Angels, Mariners, Nerfy. I'm hot since the break. I'm 8-1 since the break on Nerfy picks. Again, you could throw a dart at a board and hit most Nerfies because it's 33-12 since the break after the afternoon Nerfy hit in the Bronx. One more bet that was on John Bowling's card that we didn't get to that I certainly want to touch on. I love it. It was the Orioles win total over.
Yep.
I bet them to win the division last week. Shout out Will Hill, who was all over that at plus money. If you see an Orioles to win the AL East at plus money, bet it now. They're the best team in that division. They're better than the Yankees, and they're going to add at the deadline. The Yankees are good. I think the Orioles are better. And you said you got them also to win the World Series, you think is a decent bet.
I have them 16-1 in pocket. I have Burns to win the AL Cy Young plus 440, I believe.
I like that a lot.
Remember, people, new ownership. They're going to be very aggressive to capitalize on this window and get themselves a trophy year one.
They're winning the division. I feel very confident about that. Dustin Sweetelson did a great job booking this show. I am Jared Smith. I want to thank all of our guests today. Landry Locker, Brooks Austin, Mark Carmen, John Bowman. Fantastic lineup. I'll be back tomorrow here on Sharp Money. Everyone in the back crushed it. You're watching and listening to VSiN. It's primetime up next. JVT, Tim Murray.